think we finished the first paragraph last time of this chapter. With a long, long introduction. I hope you have the text.
There's a lot of new people today, so,
so we'll
get the copies done for them for next time.
Anyway, today I am going to deal with only one paragraph, which I shall read first. And this paragraph is again an elucidation of the first paragraph. So even those who have not followed the first paragraph will be able to follow the second one. It is an elucidation of the first paragraph. The last sentence of the first paragraph was, the spiritual man has evolved, but not the supramental being, who shall thenceforward be the leader of that nature. So there is a distinction made between the spiritual man and the supramental being. And we are told that while in the history of the world, spiritual men have evolved and come into existence, and the world has been benefited by them. But a greater being, which Sri Aurobindo calls the supramental being, is yet to come. Now Sri Aurobindo explains this. This is because the principle of spirituality has yet to affirm itself in its own complete right and sovereignty. It has been up till now a power for the mental being to escape from itself or to refine and raise itself to a spiritual poise. It has availed for the release of the spirit from mind and for the enlargement of the being in a spiritualized mind and heart, but not, or rather not yet sufficiently, for the self-affirmation of the spirit in its own dynamic and sovereign mastery, free from the mind's limitations and from the mental instrumentation. The development of another instrumentation has begun, but has yet to become total and effective. It has besides to cease to be a purely individual self-creation in an original ignorance, something supernormal to earth life, that must always be acquired as an individual achievement by a difficult endeavor. It must become the normal nature of a new type of being. As mind is established here, on a basis of ignorance, seeking for knowledge and growing into knowledge, so supermind must be established here on a basis of knowledge, growing into its own greater light. But this cannot be so long as the spiritual mental being has not risen fully to supermind and brought down its powers into terrestrial existence. For the gulf between mind and supermind has to be bridged, the closed passages opened, and roads of ascent and descent created where there is now a void and a silence. This can be done only by the triple transformation to which we have already made a passing reference. There must first be the psychic change, the conversion of our whole present nature into a soul instrumentation. On that, or along with that, there must be the spiritual change, the descent of a higher light, knowledge, power, force, bliss, purity into the whole being, even into the lowest recesses of the life and body, even into the darkness of our subconscious. Last, there must supervene the supramental transmutation. There must take place, as a crowning movement, the ascent into the supermind and the transforming descent of the supramental consciousness into our entire being and nature. I think there are three things which are emphasized here. In the first place, we are told that if you look at the history of the past, there have come about certain people, individuals, who have been able to liberate themselves from the mind, life and body. Now this word is not used here, but the important point is that there have been individuals who have achieved moksha. Liberation is moksha, mukti. There have been galaxies of people in the past who have attained to moksha. And moksha means the stage of the spirit where it is liberated from mind, life and body. So this has been achieved. But what has not been achieved, this is the second. Is the capacity of the spirit to use an instrument of action other than mind, life and body. It is as if there is mind, life and body, a complex here, the spirit can separate itself out from there and withdraw from there. This is moksha. But if it has to act on the earth, it can act only through the instrument which is here, mind, life and body. But this instrument is not the proper instrument for the liberated spirit. It requires another instrument. Now the second point that Sri Aurobindo makes is that that instrumentation has not yet been produced. Or even if it is produced, so this is the second important point, it is not as if there has been a complete blank in the history of the world. This instrument which has been produced is not yet complete. And even if this instrument is not yet completed, it has incomplete instrumentation is available so far only to an individual and not to collectivity. So this is the human history so far. This is the second point that is made. The third point that is made is that that instrument, that new instrument, is what Sri Aurobindo calls the supermind. Above the mind there is an instrument called the supermind. Now that instrument is developed in the past to some extent, inadequately. But what Sri Aurobindo wants is that that supermind must be made a permanent and full development here. And it should be so developed that at least a larger number of human beings are capable of using it as an instrument. So the third point is that therefore there must be a permanent ascension to the supermind, you should be able to rise from mind to supermind, not only liberated from the mind, but a further program, you rise from mind to the supermind and develop it fully, then bring it down so that the mind, life and body are completely transmuted by the power of the supermind. This last process consists of three processes. The psychic transformation, the spiritual transformation, and the supramental transformation. When these three transformations take place, then only we can say that supermind will be now used permanently as an instrumentation of the spirit for action on the earth. This is the program that Sri Aurobindo said has not yet been effected, which has to be effected. So these are three points which are made in this paragraph. In fact, this is elaboration of the first paragraph which we had read last time, where Sri Aurobindo has said that if it was the intention of nature to liberate man from the ignorance, then that task has been done. Roads have been built, ways have been cleaved out, and now it is available for anybody to pursue it and attain it. But that intention is not the only intention. That is the important point. This world is created not only to liberate man from body, life and mind. That is, moksha is not the only aim. But a greater aim is now proposed. The return of the spirit after liberation, development of a new instrumentation, perfection of it and establishment of it in the same way in which mind is established on this earth.